friend. Always nice to end on a good note. And as Tom Tancredo gets wired up here by our crack staff, not our staff on crack, they wouldn't do that. Let me tell you about something really fun tonight. And Central City Opera, as you know, I'm completely uncultured, but even I enjoyed this thoroughly because it's such a gorgeous spot up there. It's not a long drive at all, and they really do it well. So if you're looking for something different, a way to escape, you know, get up to the mountains, this musical theatrical experience you won't get anywhere else, it truly is the Central City Opera. The quality of the performances, and listen, truly, I would have enjoyed it if it was a kid's play, because it's such a beautiful setting, but it's not. It is world class. The quality of the performances, the sets are world class. There are subtitles with translations for people like me, so you won't lose a minute of the action. So it's wonderful in every way. Here's how you get your tickets, centralcityopera.org, or you can call 303-292-6700, 303-292-6700. Obviously, easier to go to the website, centralcityopera.org. Trust me, it was one of the greatest evenings we had all last summer, that Central City Opera. Tom Tancredo, how you doing,
sir,
man?
Sir, well, it is such a beautiful day.
Oh, isn't it?
Rode out here on my bike, and it was absolutely one of the nicest days we've had to do that. It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah, and you've got to be feeling pretty good right now because, you know, a lot of folks think you're likely leading this governor's race. I have to be honest with you, and I'm no political expert, as you know, but I just don't have any feel at all for this race. I mean, the way people sort of analyze the numbers when you have four really talented people in a race and you come in with your longtime hard-earned base of support is, I think a lot of people feel you're probably leading the race right now. How do you feel about
it? Well, I think that it is very close between myself and Bob. At least all the polls I have seen would indicate that. And it's an interesting thing, and I don't know to what extent this plays out in a primary like this, but in the past, what we've seen over and over again is that as unaffiliates, or no, it's not unaffiliates, as people who haven't got their mind made up yet, as they begin to make up their mind, as the undecided become decided, they often break for somebody who's not what they see as the incumbent. Well, I'm not an incumbent, but because I have the name ID that's been around for a long time and that sort of thing, and the perceived leader, I think a lot of the undecideds break differently for some of the other guys.
Interesting.
And so I think it's getting much, much closer. Now, I do think it is just between the two of us right now, Bob and me, the other guys, good guys as they are, but I do not believe that they're, you know, I got to tell you, just again, the polls that we see would indicate that they're not really a factor.
Interesting. And 303-696-1971, we'll take some calls as well in a bit. Now, this great column written by Michelle Malkin.
I've heard about it. I actually haven't seen it yet.
Here, I'll give you your souvenir copy.
Well, I got off the motorcycle and I was coming in here and I got all these emails about it. So
here it is right here. And Michelle Malkin, who obviously very, very respected, endorsing you in, you know, a very long and thoughtful column. So that out today. And, you know, one thing I thought, Tom, was, and said on air, as soon as I heard the news about Eric Cantor being defeated, you know, I thought that bode well for you because it appears that the primary dynamic in throwing out this historic rejection of the current House Minority Leader was illegal immigration and this perception that he was going soft on illegal immigration.
Yeah.
And so I thought, wow, if that's an active dynamic on the ground in Virginia, it's probably even more active in Colorado, and you're the guy most likely to benefit from
that. Well, you know, I was on a different station yesterday for a few minutes, and they asked me that same question, and I said, well, I'm not sure to what extent the Virginia experience can be replayed here in Colorado. But then they said, well, Floyd Cerulli said that this will help Tom Tancredo. And I said, well, who am I to argue with Floyd Cerulli? Cerulli.
He's good.
But I think that the thing that really does resonate more even than the issue of immigration reform, you know, you cannot discount that considering what's happening on the border right now. When you've got 50,000 kids coming across that border being put up in warehouses and in barracks on Fort Carson, thank God not yet, but that's probably in the offing. something like that anyway for Colorado. When you have that happening, you can't discount the fact that people begin to think again about the issue of immigration, which may have been off the table for a lot of people, mm-hmm. or just out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, you know, what are we going to do about this? And if they think to themselves, you know, this government, the federal government, is going to do nothing about it, then the backstop is, will the states, will governors do
right.
something about it?
Right.
And, you know, I will try my best. Should I end up in that position, I guarantee you I will try my best. And so to that extent, I believe that it is helpful. But there's another aspect of it, Dan, and that is that there is, I think, a feeling on the part of many people here in Colorado and in Virginia, Republicans, that the party bosses really shouldn't be running the show mm-hmm. anymore, that they're out of touch entirely with the conservative, you know, constituency that makes up the bulk of the Republican primary, mm-hmm. Not just primary, but voters in general. So I think that's at play. I certainly do. I believe that here in Colorado, people are sick of that kind of thing. I hope they recognize that, you know, I am not the party, not supported necessarily, but the party. Somebody asked me the other day,
nobody's accusing you of that.
Who are all the Republican, big shot Republicans that are supporting you? I said, Michelle Malkin. That's the only one I can, yeah. think of, you know?
Yeah.
And so that issue is at play. And I think that the idea of party bosses running the show and the fact that I will not kowtow to them, the fact that I have never done so and I am sort of a maverick in that regard, I think that helps me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there are a lot of things helping you right now, and it's one of the most interesting races I've ever seen because, as you know, we've talked about this on and off air. It's a situation where you have so much hard-earned support, and there are lots of reasons to think that you may very well win this primary. And then, on the other hand, I just don't see things black and white in the sense of establishment versus grassroots, et cetera. I understand there are differences on some issues, tactics, et cetera. But at the end of the day, I see it much more as a conservative coalition.
I hope.
And a coalition that is going to need to act as one to defeat John Hickenlooper behind whoever wins this primary, whether it's you or somebody else.
That's why I've gone to all of the Republicans that are running, and I have gone, by the way, to the state party, and I've said, listen, tell you right now, I mean, I know I'm not your candidate. I know mm-hmm. that you're hoping for a different one, but I'm telling you this right at this moment in time. If anyone else, if either any one of those three guys that I'm running against ends up with this nomination, I will be doing every single thing I can to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the issue for me, Dan, and I hope for most people in this state, most Republicans, the issue is not just who wants to be governor.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of governor or the trappings of being governor is of no allure to me. The change is what's necessary. The, you know, being able to get him out of this office and set Colorado on a much different path. That is what our goal is. And so if I'm not the one to carry that banner, if they don't believe that I can do it, then I'm telling you, I will do anything I can to help any other Republican, including, by the way, stay as far away from their campaign as they as they may want. But if there's anything else I can do, I will. But what I ask the party to do,
yeah.
and what I ask everybody listening to this to do, if indeed I end up with this nomination,
yeah.
is to do the same for me.
Yeah.
You know, put everything else aside. Let's get together and win this, because I can't win it without a united Republican Party and without the unaffiliate support that I think I bring to it, which is why I believe I'm a good candidate.
Now, do you think you'll have that support?
From which,
everybody,
which group?
Everybody you just described,
yeah.
assuming you win the primary,
will
you
don't
have
know.
That support?
I know I
yeah.
feel much better about the unaffiliates
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
support than I do about some of the Republicans. There will be, especially some of the bigger donors, I think, to the party who have for a long time resented my position on illegal immigration, for instance. I mean, these are, you know, builders and some other guys who rely on illegal labor. They will not participate, I don't think, to the extent they would if some other less ardent person about this issue were to be nominated. So we will have to deal with that. But I think that I'm going to ask the party. I had a meeting with some party official yesterday, and I was saying, look, here's the only thing I'm expecting of you guys, is that after this, you help coalesce a group of Republicans and all of my opponents who I've said each time, I've told them the same thing, each one of them. I'll be there for you. Will you be there for me?
Right. What
if it works out this way? They just smile. So I haven't got a firm commitment off of them yet. But but if they want to win this race, if they want truly to have a change in the governor's mansion, then they will. If they don't, if they're satisfied with where we are and where we're going, they won't. And that's what we'll end up with.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a caller, I think it was yesterday, very intent, very passionate, demanding that I tell him whether I'm going to support you if you're the nominee because you and I disagree on 64. And I just had to laugh. And I say, why would you even ask that question? Of course I would support Tom wholeheartedly because in my view, and you know, our disagreement on 64 runs very deep. And it's not one of those things in my mind that, you know, that can just be sort of pushed aside. But at the end of the day, if Colorado is going to repeal 64, as I hope it does, it's going to take a vote of the people, as it should. Everybody's going to have their say, and then the people are going to decide. But I think you would so obviously be light years superior to John Hickenlooper as governor. Of course, if you're the nominee, I'll wholeheartedly support you. I'm not saying that will help you in any way, but I'll wholeheartedly support you while respectfully disagreeing on 64.
Well, God bless you, buddy, because that's exactly what I have to shout out to one group that I think is the exact, this is truly the example all Republicans should follow. Now, don't get me wrong here, but because the group is the log cabin Republicans that I'm talking about, so I'm not talking about following necessarily into other areas, but in terms of because every time I
there
do
a lot of places
I get
you all, could go
I
with
get, yeah, exactly. I get
You're
a lot
lucky
of
Craig isn't here.
That's for sure.
He would have just done 10 different things with that.
That's right. But but indeed, what they have done in terms of their willingness to overlook the similarities, perhaps, between themselves and Jared Polis, both being, of course, Jared Polis, of course, being the most openly gay member of the Congress, and log cabin Republicans being gay Republicans. But that doesn't matter. They've been running these ads. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're full page ads.
I read about them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've been on, you know, like if there's any other media, but I know full page ads in the Denver Post are not inexpensive. And they've been running these full page ads attacking Jared Polis for his position, his hypocritical position on fracking. And I'm thinking, this is it, Republicans. Yeah. Look at this.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all I'm asking every Republican to do. Do we understand that what we've got at stake here? And if you think, truly, if you believe as a Republican, Dan, that any other Republican, that if a sort of establishment Republican candidate, and by the way, I happen to really like these guys, liking some a little less than I was before these nasty, nasty ads, but nonetheless, you know, let's focus on Bob here for a second, because he is the competitor, honestly, right now. And I will tell you, I really like him. He is a good friend and has been for years. And I will be happy to support him. But I have to be candid with you and say that, you know, traditional candidates, establishment candidates in Colorado don't win elections. Mm-hmm. And we have to, you have to go back to 1962, I think, was the last time we actually ousted an incumbent governor. Mm-hmm. And believe me, buddy, this is not going to be an easy task.
And when we come back, and listen, I have said, because all four of you are people I admire and respect, I think you'd all be great governors. I've always said, I want to support the guy with the best chance to win. And when we come back, I'd like you to elaborate on why you think you have the best chance to win. And as you know, I'd like to talk to you about something that is now a focal point in the race and allow you to address it directly, this question of whether you support legalizing, you know, what I would describe as other dangerous drugs beyond marijuana, because as you know, that's come up.
You bet.
It's a big part of the campaign right now.
It's junk, but let's do address it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've always admired about you is you don't duck anything. You'll take it head on. And so when we come back, you know, we'll talk about that. Does Tom support the legalization of other drugs? You're with Dan Kaplis, Tom Tancredo. Dan Kaplis, more importantly, Tom Tancredo in studio, talking with Tom about, you know, the criticism he's under right now in several different quarters, you know, over support for 64. And obviously, Tom, there's an ad out there right now that talks about your support for 64 and is critical of it. Do you want to respond to that particular ad?
Absolutely. It's fine. Are these on? Let's see.
Oh, not getting any.
Something.
Can somebody fix the.
If they're on, I can hear you. It's okay. They're just a little. It's different than the ones where I was wearing. Okay. You asked me first about why I could win, why I thought I could win this race, mm-hmm. and then this, you know, whichever one you want to do first is fine.
Oh, no, please do. Start with the reasons why you believe that you will have the best chance to defeat Hickenlooper.
Okay. It is because when we look at the polls, every single time we look at the polls, we end up seeing something that I think is very, very significant and very important, and that is that although all of us right now, every Republican candidate is behind Hickenlooper, I'm closer to him than mm-hmm. any other Republican mm-hmm. candidate in the race. And one of the reasons, the primary reason, is because I have more support among unaffiliates than any other candidate. And I got to tell you, buddy, when this state votes, that's what matters. We will get, if all goes well, we will get our percentage of Republicans. It'll pop up to about 45%. Democrats will do the same thing. Then the remainder will be determined by the unaffiliate vote. And if there was a Quinnipiac poll about, I don't know, a month or so ago that showed me actually 8 points of eight points ahead of Hickenlooper with the unaffiliates. Now, if we can hold that, mm-hmm. we can win this race. Mm-hmm. If you don't get the unaffiliate vote, no Republican can win the race. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm telling you, traditional candidates, traditional campaigns will get you a traditional outcome. And for mm-hmm. Republicans, that means we lose. I do think that there is a feeling on the part of most Coloradans that, you know, that they're all sick of you know, party bosses ruling the day and determining who wins and who runs and that sort of thing. And I think I will benefit because of that. I am seen certainly as a maverick in many ways. And what am I going to tell you? That's true, I guess. So anyway, I think that's what I bring to the table. And I think it's valuable.
I think you bring a lot to the table that a lot of people don't give you enough credit for. And that's why if you are the nominee for those, and I respect so much a lot of the people who feel this way, who feel that it's a lost cause, I respectfully think they're wrong. I think you have a dynamic that's unique. And so it would be, I think, a very, very interesting race. At the same time, I do understand the concerns over, for example, this question that's arisen as to whether you support the legalization of other drugs.
I understand.
That accusation's out there. There's a Channel 7 piece.
Yeah.
First, I want to make sure, in fairness to you, that
you can
hear it.
Yeah, go ahead and play. I have heard it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Go ahead.
Colorado's most controversial politician wants to legalize drugs.
Former Congressman Tom Tancredo says the war on drugs is simply not working. 7 News reporter Steve Saunders is live in our newsroom. And Steve, Tancredo says this may be political suicide, but he says the issue is too important to ignore.
That's exactly his perspective. Always outspoken. Today was his first ever speech on this topic. He warns that the drug violence in Mexico is headed north. And in very blunt terms, he said the war has been lost.
And that is, first of all, I don't take drugs.
Before a group of older conservative Republicans...